Wow. I am just so in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, aren't you?
Amen.
There is no man that can measure up. No institution that can take his place. No career. No amount of money. What else? I don't know what else there is. It's just awesome what God can do in our life. I'm so encouraged by his encouragement to each one of us. We get up in the morning, even when we wake up in the night, we sang that song, "When the night is holding on to me, God is holding on." Well, as I woke up last night, I said, I don't know, the night's not holding on to me. I was just so happy to be in the presence of the Lord. I never have to leave the presence of God. There's that one song, "Take Me into the Holy of Holies." Well, the Holy of Holies actually as a place doesn't exist. It is where we are, the church. We belong there in the presence of the Almighty, not just a God of many gods or the Lord of many lords, but he is the only
Amen.
True God, true living God.
Yes.
He is the only one who is in charge of everything in the universe. It says in John, it says that, 1 John, I think, it says that by his word, everything is held together. Without his word, the atoms would fly apart. It wouldn't exist anymore. The electrons would have no place to go. Never mind the neutrons that they're still trying to find. You know, today we're faced with epidemics and things that the world has already known. Worse things. During the Middle Ages, they had plagues of all kinds. Not just the bubonic plague, but syphilis was the major scourge. Syphilis actually wiped out 50% of the population over a 100-year period of time. It's huge. They say that society breaks down after you lose 10%. You know, it's pretty hard to hold on to the things you know and love. Well, God, with God, that's just not true. With God, we have the body of Christ. We have the church. We have the testimony of the saints that goes before us. So it's just really just an awesome thing. What I want to go over this morning is the birth of the Gentile church. We already talked about last time the birth of the church, which was when the Holy Spirit came down and filled them, and it was dancing on their heads like tongues of fire, right? He was having fun. I don't know what they were feeling. I really don't. But they started speaking in tongues of other languages. And then Paul later on says that he speaks in the tongues of angels. And so today, most of us do that. I don't know if we could speak German or Russian. I remember in one prayer meeting, there was a brother there who was a missionary to Russia and been to Russia many, many times and lived there for a long period of time as well. And he started to speak in tongues, and I recognized the Russian phonics really right away. So I thought to myself, what is that about? And so when you speak of angels and angels' tongues, they can be in any language and phonics too. So he was speaking a very powerful message in tongues, and then there was an interpretation. So that is really God, what God can do is far beyond what we can think and know. Thank you, Lord. Right? Now, I don't know how many people are fishermen or hunters, but I know one of the things that I learned when I was go hunting, and one year I spent, I don't know, over 60 hours hunting for white-tailed deer. And I didn't have any luck. So I'd be out there in the woods praying, Lord, if this is you, just bring the deer right down there. I know that they've been there before, saw their tracks, whatever. But, you know, the Lord just never answered my prayer. Or he did, but it was an unanswered prayer that he answered. He said, no, it's not going to be this year. There are other times when God provides mightily. He says that. He says, you know, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. You know, we can't somehow, through the witchcraft of our mind, make things happen. Only God, the Holy Spirit, is in charge, not us. So if you learn anything when you go fishing and hunting, you know that. You know that for sure.
Yes.
Well, when the Gentile church was born, the apostles should have known. Because Jesus said that he came to save the whole world. The angels said that he came to bring peace between God and men, plural. Nobody excluded. Right? So everybody should have known. And Samaritans got the message. And we know that Jesus is the Savior of the whole world. So I don't know how many times that theme was repeated over and over again. But when the Holy Spirit came and filled the church and gave birth to the church in Jerusalem, there are very few Gentiles who were there. And those that were there kind of like on a on-your-honor basis, I would think. I'm just kind of imagining, and I don't know for sure. But there were always Gentiles seemingly hang around the periphery of the Jewish church. But the believer at that time were circumcised. They upheld certain things of the law, and they held to the feast, and they did all the things that good Jewish boys and girls would do to keep themselves separate and apart. Well, something is about to happen that has never been done before. The Gentile church was going to be birthed. Now, if it were me, if you were going to do one of the most important things the church could do, I would summon a conference. I can see Owen and Don, some of whomever we else were related to, say, come on, let's have a conference. And we'd have a meeting on the conference. We'd have a conference on a conference. And we think about what God's going to do and what God might want to do and bring the prophets together and counsel together with the prophets and do all kinds of preparations and say, well, we know that God wants to bring the Gentile church in, but we don't have a clue. That's what I would have done. Figure it out. In fact, the structure of the New Testament church has elders and deacons and home group leaders and all those that God is using to encourage and strengthen, oversee what God's doing in the church. In fact, you are your brother's keeper. You're to look over and see how your brother's doing, your sister's doing. Encourage them. That's what the Lord was sharing with us on Friday night, is we need to pray for each other, those that are weak. Well, I don't know where I was going with that. But I know this, that as the elders get together, that is a structure of where we see and try to understand and discern what God is doing. Makes sense. So why didn't God do that? Well, when the church was born, he just said, gather in the upper room. You know, wait. That's the only instructions they got. They didn't say, call the elders together. Call, you know, the prophets together. And I know some people that prophesy a lot, but, you know, he didn't even let them in on the secret. He just did it. And so often in our life, that is what God does. Even after the elders have their elders meeting, even after you discuss it at home group, God does what he wants to do. I remember Bob Mumford saying this. He says, now after you've figured it all out, I don't know anybody that's there, but after you've figured it all out, give 3% at least for God to do anything he wants to do. Isn't that good? Yeah, I say amen to that. I'd probably give him a little more. I think as you grow older, you give God more space and more space to do whatever he wants to do. But in Acts chapter 10, if you go there, we'll be reading through it, and then some part of chapter 11. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. Most of you know the story. A centurion who was called the Italian regiment. Dun-dun. So there you are, those Italians out there. A devout man, and right? A devout man and one who feared God with his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. So there's a picture of the Gentile believer. He knew or had a relationship with God at some point and some level. He feared God. That's the beginning of wisdom. Amen. Proverbs say it. And he said all of his household. So it wasn't just him, but all of his family, cousins. I suspect that he was probably a granddad. At least. So all of his family, all of his household, his servants, his maidservants. He gave alms. He wasn't stingy with his money. And he prayed to God always. So there was a devout person that God talks about. And, you know, we might find some of those out there in the world that don't know Jesus, even now. Say, I just really believe in God, and I pray to him, but I don't know too much else. Well, there's a chance for you to share the gospel. Right. Remember what Jesus said to Peter. He says, Peter says, you are the Christ. And the Lord says, you know, I'm going to rename you. I'm going to give you a new name, Peter, the rock. And upon this rock, I'll build my church. And it wasn't the name. It was what he, the revelation that he had, the revelation of the Lord Jesus being the Christ, the Messiah, the one who is the Savior of all the world. And so when he comes into this picture, that is the Apostle Peter, that prophecy that the Lord gave becomes true. You'll see it later on. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. So how many have had a vision of angels? I know there's a few, right? Well, Cornelius had one. Now, interestingly, remember when the church was born in the upper room, no angel was talked about being present. I'm sure they were, but they weren't talked about because it was the work of the Holy Spirit. Here, an angel doesn't give direction about what's going to happen. It doesn't show up and say, here's a new direction for the church. I'm going to build the Gentile church or anything like that. He just says, okay, I'm showing up and this is what I'm going to tell you, exactly what to do. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come upon for a memorial unto or before the Lord. I don't even know what that means. But it means that God was paying attention. Yes. Now, sending men to Joppa. Now, this is the direction from the angel to this guy, Cornelius. He says, now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. That is Simon Peter. He is lodged with Simon, a tanner. Way too many Peters or Simons here. Whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And the angel spoke to him and he departed. That's it. That was the whole thing the angel had to do. That was his job. Just to say, you know, Lord, I can see the instructions from the throne room. Okay, who would like to volunteer to go to Cornelius today? Well, what do you want me to do? Want me to introduce the Gentile church? Nope. Just going to tell him to go to Joppa. That's it. You know, if there's any direction for the New Testament angel, that's it. Just follow the direction that the Spirit wants you to do. Well, I don't know what you would do if you were Cornelius. Most people would just say, I better be careful what I eat at night. But no. He departed, and Cornelius immediately calls two of his household servants. So it must have been a wealthy person to be a Roman centurion, don't you think? He had power, and he had servants, and he had a whole family. What a wonderful thing. We always think of a Gentile church person as being poor, decrepit, and not having much. But you know, as you grow in the Lord, you should have something to give away. Amen. And he certainly did. So he called two of his household servants, a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. I'd like to have that. Breakfast now, please. So when he explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. So that's what he did. In the meantime, I love this story, the storyline. In the meantime, the next day, as they were on their journey and drew near to the city, Peter went into the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while he made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at four corners descending to him and let down to the earth, in which there were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air. And a voice came to him and said, arise, Peter, kill and eat. This is really almost comical. Think about what's going on here. Come on. This isn't spiritual. Really, an elders' meeting would have been much better to present the gospel or the opening of the Gentile church. But no, we'll wait till Peter's really, really hungry. And he's not having a vision. He's falling into a trance. Now, if you came to the elders and said, I got to talk to you guys. Well, yeah, what do you want? I fell into a trance last night, or this morning when I was really hungry. You know what our response would be? I mean, Honestly, you know what our response will be? I don't think so. The Holy Spirit uses anything and everything that is passed our way.
Yes.
And if you're that hungry, he'll use that hunger to bring the word of God to you. He uses everything. Remember what he did to Moses? There was a bush burning, and he was curious to see what it was. And he went up to it, and there was the presence of God, the burning bush. Well, to a Jewish boy, arise, kill, and eat? I don't think so. Peter said, exactly that. Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. So a little spiritual snobbery there, don't you say? You know, my righteousness isn't just in Jesus, but it's in, I'm not going to eat unclean things or common things. And the voice spoke to him again the second time. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. So there's the vision he has, and a word of the Lord, more importantly. So I'm just imagining he had breakfast after that and was thinking about what common or uncommon things he might add to his diet. Peter wondered within himself, this just isn't God, is it? It must be, has to come from the elders' meeting. Or hunger. A prophet must prophesy this first. Well, he himself, what he was wondering, what this vision they had seen meant. Behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius made entry, inquire for Simon's house, and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, who was surnamed Peter, was lodging there. Of course, they knew he was. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold. Now, it wasn't an angel this time. It was the Spirit. That's a good thing. Because he was filled with the Spirit, remember? The Spirit said to him, behold, three men are asking to see you. Rise and go down and go to them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Doubting nothing.
Yeah.
So when we're instructed by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, we need to have faith to do what he wants us to do. Doubting nothing. Oftentimes, there's doubt that comes in, but we doubt nothing. I can remember once in a home group, Cheryl and I had announced our plan to go to Florida, and in those days, the interstate was not completed, and so we had to go Route 301, and then back to the interstate, and then 301, back to the interstate. It would take us a long time to get down to Florida. Not so today. In fact, we take the plane now. But anyway, somebody in the church, a prophet, stood up and said, don't take 301. That's all I had, and walked away. Well, how are you going to get to Florida without going on 301? So I went before the Lord, and I said, this is crazy. I don't know what to do now. And the Lord said, go. Be confident. I am sending you. And we're going to visit my mother who, you know, needed encouragement in the Lord. My sister as well. My little sister. And so we went. And I can remember turning on 301 very clearly. And I wasn't worried a bit. Because you know what? We only see in part and know in part. But you have to be confident in the Lord when you hear the Lord. And sometimes there's all kinds of confusion that the enemy wants to have. But, you know, there wasn't any alternative route. So, oh well. Nothing happened. And it was a wonderful trip. And since then, I think we had three or four more times that we took that trip on 301 before the thruway was done. Anyway, have no doubt. I like that. Then Peter went down and they said to Cornelius, they said to Peter. So Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one of whom God fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews. So he learned about God from the Jewish people. He was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house. Whoa. And hear the words from you. Then he invited them to come lodge with him. On the next day, Peter just went with them, some of the brethren from Joppa, and some of the brethren he was with went with him. That's always a good thing, to go with your brothers and sisters, isn't it? Jesus sent out his disciples in pairs for a good reason. So when you go out and minister on the street and then wherever you're going, a lot of times it's good to go in twos. I know when we were witnessing in New Paltz, We always went on the street. It would be a pair, at least two of us, at least. And I remember going up to, trying to go up to a biker, and there was there was one testimony about this, that this biker dude was on a sidewalk, and a guy gave him his personal track, you know, and he took the track and he ate it. So this was in the back of my mind as I was walking down the streets of Jerusalem with these other brothers. And we were sharing the gospel, and you know what? It was so funny because they saw us coming, the biker dudes, and they saw us coming, and they said, and they got in their bikes and took off. We had no fear. Sadly, they didn't hear the gospel that day. But, you know, later on, we opened up a street ministry, a coffee house in New Paltz, and it was wildly successful. It was really wonderful. Even New York State gave me a call once. This almost never happens. And said, we heard that you have a soup kitchen in New Paltz, and we'd like to donate to you. I said, what do you mean? Well, we have like 300 pounds of cheese, and we need to give it away. So, sure, let's do it. So we did. We got the cheese and put it there and gave it away to people on the street. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
That's our God. That's God. Amen. Well, Peter meets Cornelius. The following day, they entered Caesarea. So it was a day's trip away, so about from here to New Paltz, I guess. Cornelius was waiting for them. I can see him doing that, calling together his relatives and close friends. Notice Cornelius never seems to act alone. Cornelius is a man who's so devout, but he likes the company of his friends and those who are with him, as we all should. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and he fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Uh-oh. Peter lifted him up. I can see him doing this rather hurriedly. Stand up. I myself am also a man. Wow. You know, the tendency is for men to always glorify other men. It's all they knew in those days. It seems like that's all we know in these days. Who's president now? We'll glorify him. Who's the next Johnny come lately? You know, we'll make do with that person. Who's the best minister? Who has the best prophecies? You know, whatever you want to do. It's always about men. Well, God, it's not about men. It's not about the elders. It's about God. It's about the Lord Jesus and what he wants to do in our life. He says, stand up. I'm also a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Isn't that wonderful? Then he said to them, now, upon this rock I shall build the church. Here Peter's doing exactly that. You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one with another nation. So he was telling him right up front, I shouldn't be doing this. I think if I were the Lord, I would say, Peter, get over it. But God has shown me that what I should do, not call any man common or unclean. Amen?
Right.
That's right. No person is common or unclean.
Amen.
If you see someone with COVID, they're not common or unclean. If you see someone of another nation, they're not common or unclean. You see someone with less education, they're not common or unclean. They don't go to your group, too bad, they're not common or unclean. Therefore, I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, for what reason have you sent me? Now I should have guessed. So Cornelius gives him the story. 4 days ago, I was fasting. Oh, so he prayed and fasted until the hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms are remembered in the sight of the Lord. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, surnamed Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, I love the detail. They don't want you to get this wrong. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all here, we're present before God, and hear all the things that God has commanded you by God. So, whatever you want to say, Peter, we want to hear it. I think if I was the Holy Spirit, I would have been waiting for the opportunity, waiting to pounce, so to speak, waiting for it to happen. This is the birth of the Gentile. This is why you're here this morning. Without this happening, you wouldn't be here. All right, so this is pretty important for us. What's going to happen here? Peter opened his mouth and he begins to preach. In truth, I perceive that God knows no partiality, but in every nation, whomever fears the Lord, fears him, and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Christ Jesus. He is the Lord of all. So he's preaching peace through Christ Jesus. That is the Messiah, the one who made peace between God and men. He's preaching on the rock. The word you know, which is proclaimed through all of Judea. So the evidence was already out, or the newspapers had already been published, so to speak, about what happened in Galilee. It began from Galilee after the baptism, which John preached. They knew about John. He's referring to something that they already knew in the next town over. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, with power, and went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we were all witness in all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews in Jerusalem, who they killed him by hanging him on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but to the witnesses chosen by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who is ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. Amen. Stop there for a minute. The resurrection day, there's going to be no, it won't be rigged. I think I read that this week. There'll be nobody that rigs Judgment Day. You know, Jesus is going to judge the living and the dead. To him, all prophets witness that. Through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Now, so Peter's just saying, I don't care, Cornelius, if you've never gone to synagogue, you're never reading the Torah, this gospel is open to you. And if I were in charge, I would have let Peter finish his sermon. Right? But that's not what the Holy Spirit did. He's ready to pounce. The Holy Spirit can't wait to do this. It says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. Like, what's happening? As many as came with Peter, those guys, those clean Jewish boys and gals, and because of the gift of the Lord, the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles. It was right before their eyes. They hadn't even finished a sermon. For I heard them speak with tongues and magnifying God. Wow, isn't that great? Now, you've heard me speak this before, that, you know, I remember Dale preaching on the Holy Spirit and everybody, and I remember one Wednesday night, I think it was, and I said, I want to be filled with the Spirit too. And I just started speaking in tongues. And there were people among them, even these Gentiles, were a little bit spiritual, right? So, well, hurry up. You can't just speak in tongues. We've got to go over and lay hands on him. So I went over immediately and laid hands on him. Well, the Holy Spirit can do anything he wants to do. You can use a trance when you're hungry. You can use the burning bush. Right? You can use Peter not even knowing what he's getting into. God, do you want me to go to Joppa? What for? Well, I mean, where Cornelius lived. Anyway, so Peter immediately, being filled with Spirit, he understood what was going on. Peter answers, can anyone forbid water? I can see him looking around saying, okay, can anybody forbid water? Should not these be baptized? Who have received the Holy Spirit just like us? And he commanded them to be baptized and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay for a few more days. And I'm sure he finished his sermon. But they were baptized in water. What a wonderful thing. Repentance, baptism in water, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, that's the usual order of things. In this case, it was repentance, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, and baptized in water.
Yeah.
You know, it really doesn't matter. All the spiritual things that we think has to happen don't necessarily have to happen that way.
That's right.
God can do whatever he wants. It's a good title for this sermon. God can do whatever he wants. Give him some room. Well, Peter explained it to them in the order from the beginning, saying, let's see, we already said that. Yeah. Okay, so Peter's just going to explain to them what happened about, you know, the sheet thing. An object descending like a giant sheet, let down from heaven by all four corners, came to me, and I observed it intently, and considered it soft, four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds in the air. And I heard a voice saying, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And I said, "No, for nothing common or unclean." But the voice of the Lord answered me and said from heaven, "God has cleansed you. What God has cleansed, you must not call common." Now it was done three times. At that very moment, the three men from your guy's house were there, and the Spirit of the Lord told me, "Doubt nothing, go with them." Moreover, their six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house, that is Cornelius, and he told us how he had seen the angel standing in the house, and he said to them, "Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, who was named Peter." Now he's explaining this all to the boys in Jerusalem when he comes back to them. That's what this paragraph is. They said, "Peter, what are you up to?" It's like coming to the elders' meeting after the fact. You know, a similar incident happened to us in New Paltz. We were young elders. And one of the brothers just went out on the street with his guitar and started singing choruses and passing out tracts. And so we brought him to the elders' meeting. He said, "You know, what are you doing?" And he said, "Well, God told me to do this." We couldn't doubt it because the fruit was in his life. What an awesome thing. So our response was this: "Can we join you?" He said, "Oh, certainly." So that's how the street ministry started in New Paltz. So Peter continues to explain to the brothers in Jerusalem. Imagine he was a little nervous, but maybe not. He says, "I went to them and I told them how to get saved. And as I began to speak," you'll never believe this, guys, "but the Holy Spirit fell upon them," just like he did us. "And when I told them about John and water baptism," and so we baptized them in water. And I mean, what else could we do? Well, the elders said, this is the elders' response. It says, "When they had heard these things, they became silent." First response is, And the Holy Spirit comes and works in their hearts. And they glorified God, saying, "Then God has granted to the Gentiles repentance to life."
Yes. Thank
you. God is open and whole. I would be silent for more than a few minutes and say, "Wow, we didn't see this coming. How did we miss this? Peter, I'm glad it was you and not me." So what does that mean about circumcision? What does it mean about all the other laws and the days of feast? And what does that mean? Well, the church is still trying to figure that out today. Right?
Yeah.
We should hold no day holy, but as an author of scripture, we shouldn't offend other people too. And so some people want to keep a day holy. Then, you know, what's that to them? What if some people want to fast on a particular day, or all the things that come with religion? And can be guided even by the Holy Spirit. God obviously used fasting. You know, in Cornelius' life, it said he was fasting too. Peter was waiting for breakfast, but Cornelius was fasting. I thought that's kind of interesting parallel. I don't know what else to say about this particular process of Scripture, except that oftentimes nowadays, I stop in silence and wonder what God is doing. And oftentimes when I hear the counsel of the prophets and I hear the counsel of those in internet prophetic worlds and circles, and hear the counsel of even those men of God that I know and love, I wait and just try to discern what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. And to me specifically, because he may be saying something to one person and not to another. So there's a lot of things in this story that are interesting, because he links the opening up of the Gentile church with the eating of unclean things, with the religious exercise of holding yourself apart. And so there are some who have come and asked of me, because I have some sites that I'm overseeing on Facebook, and some have said, I can't take it anymore. I can't take all the criticism and all the stuff that's going on. And I'm leaving. I'm going to Maywee or someplace else. I'm not condemning them, but I was saddened, deeply saddened about it as I prayed about it. Because the scripture clearly says, it says, go into all of the world and make disciples. And what the Lord showed me was, if Facebook isn't the world, what is? That doesn't mean that we have to take everything that's there, because you can hide, censor, block, thankfully, because there's stuff you need to hide, censor, and block. But I believe that God has us in this world, not to live apart from it, but actually be integrated into it. But we are not of the world, and yet in the world. It's one of the hardest things to try to understand is, why would God do that? And throughout the Middle Ages, the monks and the nuns would separate themselves from the world. So it didn't just stop with the Jewish faith and their law. The church picked it up too. So separate us from the unclean and the unworthy, and the ones who don't want to make the confession of our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll separate ourselves from it so we can devote more time to prayer. And reading the scriptures and writing the scriptures. I spent lots and lots of time doing this. I don't think Mother Teresa would approve. When she went down into the streets of Calcutta, she used to have nuns come to her and want to work with her. And she asked one nun, she said, asked her, why do you want to do this? And she answered some spiritual answer, like, I know God has called me for this, and so forth and so on. And her answer was, we need people that can get their hands dirty and cry and walk away and do it again tomorrow. So even if you don't see the work of your hand and what God is doing, you still do it. And when we went to the Philippines, and I went at least 3 times, I think, it's the same thing the Lord told us as a team. So you can't, when you go into the dump especially, you can't make a difference that you can see, but I will make a difference that you can't see with one or two. And thousands and thousands of kids, very few adults, because adults were all trying to make a living selling plastic, you know, bags they collected from the dump. So that left the kids home to do nothing but get in trouble. So the gospel was shared with kids. I said, what are you doing? Lord, what are you doing? And all they could do and couldn't really communicate the gospel in a clear way. What you are communicating is who you are to give to them of your time. And if we were in the TB clinic, it was time for medication dispersal, and those kinds of things. To wrap the bandages, so to speak, of those who can't do it anymore. And we would go to some homes and we'd see teenagers that looked like they were 5 years old or that small, because tuberculosis just stunted their growth. And the vitamins, if they ran out of vitamins, they would certainly die. Because one of the main causes for tuberculosis is the fact that they're not eating well. So what did God say? Some things that we would have never thought God would say. Go. Mingle with them. Be a part of them for a week or two. See what it's like. So I guess my word today is, don't think you know what God's doing if you haven't prayed about it. But ask God, personally, you, for you personally and for this church, and for what God's doing to the church in America. And as we come in prayer on Friday night, that's what we pray about. We pray about what is God saying to us collectively. Yeah. And do we have anything to say to the church? And I think the answer to that is yes, we do. I think, yes, we do have courage. We don't need to doubt. Don't go without doubting, Scripture says here. Yeah. And even though, you know, maybe you didn't get the 300% approval rating from your home group or wherever you fellowship from, but if you submit to brothers that are really in the Lord and sisters, you'll know what God wants for you and what you should do. You'll know. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tim says yes. There is a time that you will speak. And it'll be a time when your voice will not be your own, says the Lord. It will be the voice of your master.
Amen.
You will know it to be God because it will not be from your natural heart, but it'll be from the heart that God has given you, a heart of compassion and mercy. Father, I ask you this year that you would bring in the unbeliever, the Gentile, into our midst. Lord God, that we would be able to bring them the bandages of healing, a salve for their eye, that they could see and open their eyes to see the true, one and only living God, our personal Lord and Savior. And Lord, I pray that each one of us would find you again in a new, fresh way in our prayer closets. That secret place in the darkness of night is not holding us anymore, but it is the Lord God on high. And we can go into the darkness of night without any fear. In Jesus' name, amen.